to The Vibe You're In
with Michael Santana and Will Molina. Welcome to episode 16. So are you listeners out there? Sweet 16. So episode 16, I'd like to thank our sponsor for the night.
Froggy's Party Pad, 419 South Broadway, Salem, New Hampshire.
Our sponsor pays for our super producer engineer extraordinaire,
Short Fuse.
We also like to thank the roof.
The Enchantment Room.
If you love what you've been listening to, you can find this on Spotify,
Audible,
Apple Podcasts,
and iHeartRadio. Actually, we're everywhere,
man. So tonight we have a good friend, special guest, a Merrimack Valley native, and his name is Adam Wright of RJ Home Inspection. Yeah,
thanks for having me, guys.
Adam, I've known for a few years. Obviously, we pride ourselves on using the services of his company. I know, Michael, you've also used the services of their company.
We go way, way back.
Actually, 10 years now.
I would say so.
Even longer than that, because your dad and I go back to the 1800s.
Way, way back.
We worked about
way back.
Way, way back.
So your company's been... how long has the company been
in? Since 1987.
Oh my God.
I told you.
Look at that. So it is a long time.
Before inspections were even licensed, when they were just starting to become a thing.
Yeah. When they were 50 bucks.
50 bucks got you an inspection. I tell you what, it was not electronic at the time. It was just all handwritten. That's crazy. Yep.
And the 1987. And they use screwdrivers to open up the handheld.
Right, instead of that drilling gun.
I remember being a kid and my father was like planning the brochures to hand out like on the kitchen table. Like
wow, that's crazy.
That's a long time ago.
I was a kid too. I think they were $1.99.
So you grew up with this business. I mean, you were just part of it. Even though you probably weren't thinking of doing it, it was ingrained in you.
Yeah, no, my father was a builder, home inspector. Okay. I grew up on his building projects, doing every awful job you can possibly think of.
Well, that's the correct way of raising children. Get them involved, get them dirty, get them in there, and somehow they see the light eventually. You saw the light.
It taught me hard work.
There you go.
There you go. Work ethic.
Septic
work
ethic. Tanks. Literally.
Oh, jeez.
You got downright and dirty.
Yeah. Adam, if you really want to be successful, you have to be next to a septic tank. You're going Saturday at 9 a.m. You're not watching cartoons.
Yes. And watch all the windows and the doors in the neighborhood shut and close.
Oh, my God.
He would just drop me and a friend off and just be like, okay. No, just start digging. I'll be back in a few hours. Expose the septic tank. Figure it out.
Next time I see your dad, I'll be like, wow, I see how this all went from you to him in a flash.
Mr. Wright knows how to do it.
Mr. Wright knows how to do it. Where's your location and what do you service? Which areas?
The headquarters are based out of Methuen, 270 Lawrence Street in Methuen. We service all of Eastern Mass, Southern New Hampshire, and even into Maine.
Nice.
Nice. You know how important it is to have a home inspection? For us as realtors, we've had this conversation for many years, and as of recent, it's become something that's so key. Adam, why a home inspection? In your words, in your world, why?
So I would say, I mean, a lot of people when they're buying a house, it's the biggest purchase of their life, right? And most of these people don't know how to take care of a house. They don't know what to expect from a house. So... And especially in today's market, you'll have, 15, 20 minutes to look at a house before you have to put an offer in?
Yeah.
So a lot of these people don't know anything about houses, and they're going in blindly, where, you can find things wrong that cost $10,000, $20,000. And if you're not prepared for that, then you're in big trouble as soon as you take homeownership.
It's a money pit. It could be, if you're not prepared. I mean, like the movie, they weren't prepared at all. Remember The Money Pit?
Oh, yeah.
That was a funny movie.
That's one of V's favorites. It's actually pretty funny.
So before we go into our topic.
Yes.
We have, in our episodes, we have one or two drinks.
One or two.
And so for tonight.
Adam's here. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
We're going to have to
bottle. Yeah, that's right. We'll put it away. So for tonight, we're actually having something I really enjoy. It's called Angel's Envy. It is a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey finished in port wine barrels. It's really good. Guys, what do you think of it? You've had one sip already.
It's smooth.
It's smooth, right?
I think. I like it.
Uh-oh, so Adam's probably going to have one or two more. And so thank you, Angel's Envy, made in Louisville, Kentucky. Angel's Envy, cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
And I think last time I had Angel's Envy, it was with you, Will.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know.
This is one of your go-tos.
It is my go-to. Yeah. And I tell you what, that bottle didn't last too long. So, but it's okay. We were having a good time. It was a party. I think a lot of our friends were there. And it was just an enjoyable moment. We've had a lot of fun.
The drinks outside, tend to flow.
Yeah, outside of real estate, I've had a lot of good times with Adam. So I look forward to talking to you tonight. So let's go. Let's dive into this topic. I think it's a topic that is fitting for the time. We're running into the spring market where a lot of people are making changes and doing things to open their mind and be clear of the things they want to accomplish. And so, Michael, what is tonight's topic?
Tonight's topic is declutter your life, aka spring clean your life or your business.
Or your business.
And it's important to understand that.
Sure.
The part that's important to understand is that, and we talk about it here when we get together, we talk about that everything has energy, right? So all things that surround you, us, all the time, everything that we see has its own energy, has its own frequency, has its own vibration. And those things that we're talking about resonate with how you interact with them, believe it or not, as strange as that sounds.
Sure.
In other words, some people love their cars, and their cars work fine. They always look nice. They take care of them. I know a realtor friend of ours that practically lives out of his car. He lifts up his trunk. He has a little closet there. He's able to change into different suits.
I love it.
He loves that car.
Yeah.
And that car loves him back.
I know
and
you him can very
see
well.
It. Yes. And you can see the love that he's putting in that car. The sure. car is giving him the love back. But there's things that are sitting around our house that we're not giving love to, around our office that we're not giving love to. It's like anything else.
Right.
If you're not giving love to those things that are around your house or your office or wherever it is, we need to start decluttering. We need to get rid of that stuff.
So what you're saying to me is, in terms of, you know, I have some items in my house and I bought it and it's just sitting there. I'm not doing anything with it. I thought I needed it, but yet it's sitting there, sitting there. So I'm not giving that love. I'm not using this object. I'm not giving the action it's supposed to provide me. And so it's a mindset to start thinking, why not get rid of it? Now, the word get rid of it to a lot of people is just throw it out, but that's not the case. There's a lot of people out there who would enjoy what you have that they don't have, and they'll be able to use it and exactly. give it love, and it'll give them love. And at the same time, when you give someone something that you are not using and they use and they come back to you and say, you know what? Thank you for giving me that. Doesn't that make you feel good?
It does.
And so I think that's what you're trying to say in the terms that I'm thinking about.
Exactly.
It. Adam, you go to so many houses in your inspections.
Adam sees it all.
And you see it all. I mean, in your life, when you go through that process of, you know, we all go through our houses and say, why do I need that for? Particularly now that you're raising two little ones.
Yeah. Things,
tell me about that.
Things fill up fast, it seems. And it's funny, you know, the way I see houses every day, you know, the attics are completely cluttered, mm-hmm. full of stuff that people haven't touched in years and years. Same thing with basements. I mean, you guys see that, like when you go to, you know, prep a house for a listing.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about organizing.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. I mean, I have two kids and, you know, people give us things too, like for the kids. But, you know, every year they grow out of stuff.
Sure.
So now we have that old stuff that's sitting there cluttered. And, you know, when we first moved into the house, we have a 2-stall car garage. We both used to park in the garage. Now that's not even a
that
thought
is, that
for
is
the
a,
two of us
that's
to
so
even park
common.
In the garage.
That yeah. is so common. Well, I know, Michael, you were going through a decluttering phase that you said,
I
needed it. It's crazy.
I still am, and it spread out. I started helping my son. Actually, short fuse, we lent him a hand as well, and it just became this whole decluttering thing. So it's just strange that it's going on while
right.
we're talking about it.
Straighten out that closet one of these days.
But yeah, it's so easy. You look into your basement, like you were saying, Adam.
Yeah.
You look in your garage, And then you start decluttering. And what happens is you don't just find one thing that you haven't seen in a while. You find that one thing three and four times because you've bought it over and over again because you didn't find that the first time. You didn't find it. So you keep buying the same stuff over and over again.
Those trips to Home Depot, you're like, yeah, I need a screwdriver. And next thing you know, as you're decluttering, you're like, well, my God, I have four of the same ones.
I have 50 screwdrivers.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And the same thing with the kids. They give you, they don't just have one toy. They have that one toy five times because everybody gives them the same toy. So there's someone out there that can appreciate this stuff, like you were saying.
Yeah, particularly toys, kids' toys. There's so many kids that are in need. And if you give that to someone else, it's appreciated.
Yep.
You may not necessarily see that being appreciated, but certainly get rid of it.
Yep.
If it's cluttering and if it's not something your kid's actually using at the time, I mean, they go through they go through a toy once or twice and that's it and they're done and up to the next one.
Yeah, and there's someone out there that would totally appreciate that. And we know that it's all about feeling is a secret. So if what you're giving someone is not really a gift so much, what you're giving them is a feeling. So when you give a kid that's been longing for a toy or longing for something and they hold it in their hand, that feeling that they get, you're getting that back 10 times over. You know, and it doesn't mean that you have to be in the same room with them when they get it. It could mean, you know, they're on the other side of the earth and they got it. But you're still going to get that feeling back 10 times over from that gift going out, that thing leaving your house. You see what I'm saying?
That makes sense. Shout out to that.
Yeah, whatever you put out into the world comes back.
That's right.
That is true.
And here's the...
what?
Here's the funny thing. That our offices... If we look around our office, right? We were talking about this in the focus group. Shout out to the focus group.
Shout out to the focus group. But here's the thing. I've noticed your office, and you seem to have everything in order.
Yeah, I'm just a neat freak.
Okay. I go through that, but I can also go through, okay, I could just put this on the corner, and it's a stack of it, and I'm okay, but I don't know what's inside of it.
Right.
And so
we all do it.
Adam, what's your desk look like?
Oh, well, now that he said he's a neat freak, I'd be embarrassed for him to see my desk. Mine is, I always tell the girls in the office too, it's like, it's organized chaos in my mind.
It's a molded mess.
Right. I know where everything is in there. I know these papers are underneath those and that kind of thing. I could definitely be more organized.
Yeah.
But it's cluttered.
It really is cluttered. I mean, for me, we live in a smaller area, a smaller place now. And we have papers and stuff when we're working. But if I get home on a Friday or something and I'm like, I need space, like mental space, I start putting stuff away and I start getting rid of stuff. And like next thing you know, in an hour, I feel totally different. And that's just a small layer of the topic that we're talking about tonight.
Right.
It's just small because those basements that we know of are full of stuff that will really help someone else.
Once you get organized, it's such a good feeling.
It is.
Like when you actually do, whether it's, you know, like you're, all your clothes are put away. Yeah. Laundry's done. Or all the, like, just that organization just makes you feel good.
It does. You know what it is? It's stagnant energy. And this is what we're trying to get at.
Yeah, explain that.
You don't want stagnant energy in your house or around you. You don't want it in your office. You don't want it in your car. You know, you want to have free-flowing energy all the time. So you want to be surrounded by things that you love, knowing that those things are getting the love. Whether you think that it's just a rock or whatever it is, a rock has energy. Everything has energy. So whatever you're giving love to is giving that love back to you. Whatever you're not giving love to is, it's withering. You know, it's dying. So you have to, the best thing to do is give it to someone that could use it. If you start going through your closet, if you have kids and your kid is, let's say, 6 years old and you go through the closet, I guarantee some of us have clothes that don't fit our kids anymore. They're like five, you know, for a five-year-old or for a four-year-old.
Or us. We may have clothes that have tags on it.
Exactly.
We've never worn it.
You haven't touched for years.
Right. Yeah.
And so we were talking about this in the focus group, and Denise Olivares Molina, your beautiful wife, happens to take these items, put them together.
She does.
And she sends them to shelters. And you know,
she does.
That helps. That energy that you're giving out by giving someone that could use those items rather than just be stagnant energy in your house, it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah, she's a master at it. She's a complete master at it. She'll put things together and say, this is going here, this is going there. And it's mind-blowing because it really helps. It helps us, you know, get rid of things that are not being used, but it also provides it to someone else. It really does. And we may not see it hand on hand or eye on eye, but certainly it's helping someone else. It really is.
my mentor, Bob Proctor. Mm-hmm. He says that the universe fills up the empty space or vacuum with the things that we desire. But first, we will need to create a space for it to happen. We need to constantly focus and energize the good things in order to get the outcome that we want to achieve. So what he's saying is, if you have goals and you have all this negative energy around you, you need to push that negative energy aside. You know, stagnant energy is negative energy. And we want positive energy. So you want to just, order is heaven's first law. So you have to have order in your life. You have to prioritize your things. And then you'll be able to get to your goals faster. You know, with less clutter, you'll be able to do a lot better.
Not to flip it, just for a minute, for folks that are running a business or looking for a business or seeking their next goal in their new business, how do you transpose that? How do you declutter in your business? I have a question for Adam when you chime in on that.
So whether it's your business or whether it's your house or whether it's your car, the first thing to do is start decluttering. Yeah. You know, take, if it's your house, go to your closet.
Get rid of it.
Throw everything out. Throw it all on the floor and start going through these items one by one. I guarantee you. You know, it's funny because I myself do this. I get up in the morning. I open my closet. I'm looking for a shirt. I'll touch at least 25 shirts before
the same,
I get to the
and wear
one.
That
right.
same
so
one that you're comfortable with.
So it's the 80-20 rule. Mm-hmm. I'm using 20% of the stuff that I have. 80% I don't even look at.
Right.
So why do I have that stuff? You know, we have to take that stuff out, throw it out, or donate it, you know, and it starts there. And the same thing with your office.
To go back to Adam, there's a change in our industry. And obviously this may intertwine to decluttering, but I see it more as innovating.
Yep.
You guys are innovating because we are suffering, not suffering, but there's things that are in our industry that are changing that I think equally we hold very dear to us, which is home inspections.
Yep.
What are you doing now to branch out a little bit and let people know what you're doing?
So it's whenever you have to adapt to the industry. So, I mean, things are going to change, whether it be good or bad or, you know, positive or negative, to affect whatever industry you're in. And for us, the, you know, home inspections are getting waived. It's just a common thing that's happening all the time. And the reason why is that the buyers just feel so desperate that they're doing anything just to get their offer accepted. They're, you know, making bad decisions, waiving, you know, contingencies about finance or even home inspections and stuff like that. So we're trying to adapt to that a little bit and try to come up with a service that people will like. I mean, right now there's a hole where, you know, these people are now buying a house blind.
Pretty much.
And a year from now, they're going to find all these problems that they didn't know about. So we're trying to help people where, you know, we're offering a new service, a preliminary inspection, where, you know, you can bring one of my inspectors along on your showing to at least get a professional set of eyes on things.
That's excellent.
Kind of give you...
I love it.
Because people have already kind of made the decision they're going to waive the home inspection contingency. Well, you know, to make them feel a little bit better about it or make a smart decision about how much their offer is going to be, they can at least have some opinions on the big ticket items in the house. And just because you waive your contingency doesn't mean that you can't get an inspection.
An opinion.
Right. I mean, even after you sign, you know, P&S,
sure.
You should, you know, you can still get that follow-up, get the full evaluation so that you're, you know, prepared to own the house, you know, whether you change how you're budgeting your money and, you know, how much you're moving into
the
house.
You're but. Not buying the big screen TV or the crazy furniture.
Exactly. You might have to cancel that furniture order when you find out that you need an
well,
meeting
Well, no, but
system.
that's a good thing. It's called adapting. It's called kind of, it's almost like decluttering the norm of your business and saying, okay, we need to kind of clarify where we're at and what our mindset is at the moment. And this is something that you came up with. That's pretty cool. It's very unique.
Very.
And
it's a great idea.
There just seemed to be a gap where, you know, the clients need some assistance with, you know, knowing what they're buying. And they just weren't, nothing was available to them to be able to do that. So we're trying
Smart.
To come up with something that people can use.
In a recent podcast, where you have to have, not necessarily goals set, but you should be able to identify the things that you want to do, because if you don't identify the one you want to do and you try to do them all at the same time, you don't do the first one you identified.
Right.
Robert Brault says, sometimes to pursue a new idea, the artist must forfeit his deposit on an old idea.
Ooh, say that again.
Sometimes to pursue a new idea, the artist must forfeit his deposit on an old idea. That means you have to give up your old ways. Don't clutter up your mind. If you're trying to learn something new, if you're trying to reach a goal and you're trying to do it the same way over and over again and that's not working, then you need to let that go and let the new idea come in. So you have to declutter your mind, which is what Mr. Adam Wright, that was a great point.
Yeah, no, and that's part of what he was going through. He was like, you know what? I'm going to think differently because I need to innovate.
Right.
Considering the market times.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you're just trying to push an idea that you want to work so much, then you realize it's not going to. So you have to reset, just start over and pick a different path.
Yep.
I know this one guy, right? And he owns a home inspection company down south and very successful. It, talking about decluttering, this guy was so organized to the point where even like his thoughts, like, you know, your thoughts are then actions, right? And he would say, my thoughts, I just organize them is, you know, is this going to affect my personal growth, my business, or my family? And if it didn't have to do with those three things, he didn't do it. He didn't even think about it.
Interesting.
And, I mean, think about that. You can be pretty flexible with that. With like, personal growth can be, all right, well, that night out with the boys, I need that personally to balance myself, right?
to get to the business growth, right, yeah. I need this. No, hey, okay.
You can't help anybody else unless your own mind is right.
That's decluttering in itself. Yeah, we do that all the time.
Exactly. So you got to reset, right? So, I mean, that's a pretty flexible term where, you know, focus on your own personal growth and health, and then family and business is kind of self-explanatory, where it's like, you know, maybe you need to binge watch on a Saturday and Netflix or something like that. But it's, you know... Yeah. Everyone's a little different.
Well, that's called, I think that's called, what's the word I'm looking for? That's called kind of resetting yourself and taking a break.
Exactly.
Yeah. The only thing we say about that is, you know, you don't do it often.
Right.
I mean, we can understand if you did it once and you needed it, that's fine.
Right. I think the word binging on is a whole different thing because the sense that we see in social media when you binge on Netflix that you're watching like, you know, a whole show or five seasons of it. It probably is just one or two episodes of something. And you're like, my mind is on this and I'm enjoying it to some degree, but I'm also removing myself from maybe the issues or things that are going around me. I don't know.
Any stress that
any
you
stress?
Have.
Oh, that's
you
can, right.
It's your way to decompress and de-stress a little
okay.
bit. But yeah, that guy was, he's an impressive person too.
But I like that he uses those three elements of his life to make determinations on the next step.
And he doesn't cut out like friends if that's what he needs for his personal growth, but cuts out, you know, useless energy, you know, the bad influences and stuff like that.
He's asking himself a very important question, which is it's something that we have to ask ourselves all the time, exactly what he's doing. Is this going to help me grow? Right. Is this going to help me push towards my goal? If it's not, he's probably not going to do it. And that's an excellent question to ask yourself.
So he's in tune with himself.
Exactly.
Is this a positive influence on me, my family, or my business?
Right.
There's another way to look
at it. And that's a great, great question to ask yourself.
Adam, in your business, how do you maintain the connection between, obviously, the realtors, your clients, but also the people that have used you for inspections?
I would say we focus more on the realtors than the clients themselves. Because a lot of times it's, you know, we help a client get to the position to own the house. And then, you know, you hope that they're in that house for a long, long time. And then there's not a ton that we can do for them after that.
Sure.
Where realtors have more and more clients, you know, coming through. So,
but I can tell you that I've had clients refer your business client to client.
Yep, we actually do get a lot of those. Yeah. Or the family member,
right.
You know, all because
right.
they, in a personal reference, is the best kind of referral.
Sure, we go through that too. I mean, it's really a personal referral.
Right, exactly.
And that's based on the fact that you've done what we believe a great job at what you do. And that's, most businesses work that way. At least small businesses operate under the influence of your experience or the experience you provided to that individual and them exposing that information to someone else close to them, and that's how it comes back to you. Would you say?
Excellent.
Yeah, awesome. And it's almost like effortless marketing because, you know, all I'm doing is just trying to do a good job.
Sure.
And then that, you know, that's observed and it's just shared by other people and it comes back.
Well, you've done such a great job that you've had to duplicate yourself like 50 times over.
No, it's true. It's true. It's so true. I mean, it's a great company. They do it well. They're good people, genuine people, and it has a lot to do with the top. It's how they perceive themselves as a company and how they go through the process of identifying inspectors and support staff that really understand the company and what they're what they strive for and what they represent in the community. That's really what it comes down to. So people who are listening, it's really how do you represent yourself to the public, but how do you identify and respect the community is what gets you to the next level.
Yes.
Michael, do you hear that?
I do.
It's the restaurant of the week. And for this week, we're going to feature a restaurant in Methuen, Massachusetts that all three of us have been at. And it is called Ellie's Farmhouse. And their slogan is "Fresh food, great people." What a cool slogan. It really is.
It is fresh food. And we're great people. And we've eaten.
So it's fitting that we go there. Before I go into my experience, I did hear something while I was there that was really fascinating, and I haven't researched it, but I asked for butter for some stuff that I had in my plate, and apparently the butter's made in-house.
Oh, wow.
And so the lady who was helping us, the waitress, said, if they can make it here, they're going to serve it here. So I thought that was fascinating. Now, I don't know if it's, I mean, if she said it, it has to have some truth, but if you look at the menu, a lot of the stuff is really farm products or local products that are cooked there. And so I thought that was awesome. You know, making churned butter in the restaurant, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
I don't think there's a lot of places that make their own butter.
No. So it's a recent place. They have, it's an array of menu. I think their breakfast is served throughout the day. So it's not just a morning thing. The breakfast can be had in the afternoon. I've been there for breakfast and I've been there for lunch.
Yeah, and they're opening, new restaurant. Right now is a tough time to open a business, especially Absolutely. A restaurant. And so I kind of forgot that they opened. I went there, I want to say a week or two ago. Just the first time I had time, you know, throughout the day, grab lunch by myself. And I think I had a roast beef sandwich. It was phenomenal.
Really?
The roast beef was amazing. They have like this horseradish sauce that was on it. I ended up going back like twice more that week. I got.
Oh, so it was good.
I think I got a Reuben the next time. I got like a egg sandwich another time. I can vouch for their sandwiches. They're top-notch.
I had the hangover burger.
It is.
Not that I had a hangover that day. I just thought it was interesting. You know, it was really good. It had a fried egg in it. Had some spices on it, and I did actually have the their version of a Bloody Mary. So the Bloody Mary mix is actually made there. And that was interesting. Every time I see that there's a Bloody...
They do serve alcohol there, right?
Yeah. So there is beer, which is awesome. They do have a menu of drinks, and they will make you any drink that you possibly would want that they have the mix for. But the margarita, the mix was actually really good for the Bloody Mary. It was really, really good. So, Michael, what did you have there the last time you were there?
Well, I'll tell you what I had. I didn't go the chicken and waffles route. I had the healthy start. I had egg whites and some hash browns. Listen, I just want to tell you, the food is so fresh. And they happen to serve something that I've been meaning to shout them out. They're out of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It's Filber's hot sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And they serve it there only because it's all natural, organic. It's amazing. You have to try it if you haven't tried it. It's called Filber's hot sauce. And they have... I think number 6, number 10, and number 14. 14 being the hottest.
Oh, so it's numbered by the.
Oh yeah.
By the heat.
Yeah, by the.
Oh,
by
that's
the,
pretty cool.
By the sound of the alarms that go off in your brain,
in your head, in your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the last time I was there, I had the Californian sandwich. They make it either a grilled chicken or fried chicken. Of course, I had fried chicken because it's like one of my best things. It had bacon, lettuce, tomato, onion, avocado, American cheese, and a brioche bun, roll.
Nice.
Served with a pickle, and I had fries with it, which was really good.
And it's all delicious.
Thank you, Ellie's Farmhouse, for being the restaurant of the week.
MG. Delicious. Yeah. Delicious. You know how me and Ye do. Delicious. Delicious.
So back to our topic.
Yes, y'all. You know what we're talking about?
Decluttering.
We're talking about decluttering. And Bob Proctor says, you must create a space for the good that you desire. You must create a space for the good that you desire. That means we have to get ready for the things that we want, right?
Sure.
We always say, what do we really want? what would you really love?
Right.
For you to get the thing that you really love, you have to make room for it.
Yeah, because it's coming.
It's coming. So you have to, so as fast as you can declutter your closet, let's say, as fast as you can take all the stuff out, guarantee you, if we look back there in 30 days, that closet will be full again. How does it happen? It's like magic,
something,
right?
Yeah.
Something. Full of something. Something's going to take its place because the universe abhors a vacuum and there are no gaps in the universe. When scientists are looking for things, what they're doing is they're discovering the thing that they missed. You know, there's always like, well, if this is here, the greatest discoveries have been that way. You know, you think about Tesla and all these people. If this is here and that's over there, then there's something missing right here. They know that there's no gaps, right? So and that gap gets filled as soon as the person discovers what was missing. So, and it's the same thing with our lives. If we're like, if look around your car, if all that crap in there, all that negative energy there, take it out and you let the good stuff come in. Your house, take the crap out, let the good stuff come in. Your life, including your friends, your clients. You know, there's some people that are just hanging around. It's just negative energy. It could be inanimate. Did I say that word right? Sure. Inanimate objects. Or it could be people. It could be anything. But the thing is to declutter your life and let the good come in.
We all know that. We run operations and businesses that we understand there's things that are of a distraction to us. And we know that we have to get back to that moment where we're like, we need to remove the distractions so that we can focus on the things we want to accomplish. It's decluttering. It's decluttering your mind, possibly physical aspects of your life that you need to kind of push to the side and say, I need to get this out of my way because I know that what I'm focused on, it's coming and I need to make sure that I'm ready as I receive it.
Right. And it's making room for the next chapter. You know, people like sometimes sit around with this, we were talking about this earlier, it's the same ideas or it's the same old, same old.
Yeah.
And you're afraid to move on. Well, guess what? You'll move on as soon as you get rid of those old ideas. And you'll be able to move on to your next chapter. As soon as you let go, you're going to see how fast you start moving forward. That's decluttering.
And when you came up with the idea of the pre-inspection, take me through that. What were you thinking? I mean, I know that you must have spoken about that with the other masses of the company.
Right.
And they must have been like, what?
Well, it was, again, kind of like you were just saying, there was a vacuum where there was a gap where... Sure. People are doing this, this was the old way of doing it, and there's a vacuum, there's something missing there that, you know, a service that needs to be provided, and, you know, it just became, what can we do, you know, to make that work? And our licensing kind of prevents certain consultation services, sure. But, you know, there's ways around it, just, you
just
know,
call, do call the right it chaperone.
Do the right...
Call it chaperoning.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just got to do the paperwork right to, you know, make sure everyone's licensed.
Yeah, but ultimately, it's the consumer that benefits from that and benefits from the desire for you and your company to look outside the box, think outside the box.
You know, Mike, I don't know if you knew this, but I was a scientist in a different life. I actually was. I have a degree in microbiology and chemistry, worked for pharmaceutical companies.
That is awesome.
But I mean, microbiology is about as much fun as you think it is, right?
You know what? I had no idea about this. So yeah. I'm gonna tap into this for the next few minutes. I want to hear more about it.
I think your home inspector rating is about to go beyond five.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I brought that up was because, you know, my background is in building, you know, besides all the science stuff. And I just love the industry so much more than like being a scientist. I mean, it sounds cheesy to say, but like it's based on helping people. Like the satisfaction you get when you help somebody, you know, buy the house. You guys get it too. You help somebody close
absolutely
the house, same thing.
It's why we do it,
right? And it's one of those things where like I have all this knowledge in my mind. Like, what's the point if I can't use it to like help people?
That's interesting.
So I microbiology never went. You know, once I made the switch, you know, into this, never looked back. Didn't go back into the. Wow, I mean, I still have some great friends from back when I was a scientist and worked alongside with them, but I kissed that goodbye.
Were you one of those kids that won the science fair all the time?
No, I didn't. I was one of those kids that didn't try hard enough in school. I don't think I lived to my full potential.
You were distracted of some sort. Yeah, that's okay.
You didn't do the volcano thing with the.
I did a volcano. I think I did. I don't know if it was successful. I don't remember. Yeah, it was too far back.
Mine just kind of sputtered.
Yeah, I just did the clay thing and painted it. I didn't do any pyrotechnics.
I mean, I had so many labs in college that I had to do. It was funny because my father, you know, now I work for my father, right? Sure. He was kind of like, you know, didn't want me to come work in the family business. He's like, do your own thing first, and then if you want to come in. So I did, and then I was like, all right, well.
Smart man.
Over beers. Right. Dad, I think I'm going to be a home inspector. Where do I start?
Well, you know what it is? While I was working as my title, you'll laugh at this.
Go.
A QC Scientist 1 in the Department of Biopharmaceutical Analysis and Microbiology.
So put that into, you know, layman's terms. What does that mean?
So it's basically...
QC 1.
What did you do?
Yeah. So we worked for... Yeah, like, this is great radio if people care
Right? Hey.
It was basically, I worked for Wyeth, which then got bought out for Pfizer, and like the biotech. So like the stuff that they would inject into people, right? That they would make in these big, like a vaccine. to put it in.
There you go.
So they have to make stuff.
We're talking about drugs now.
So they would make it in these big bioreactors, right? And in these big sterile environments. So our job in the department of BA Micro was to... You know, do environmental monitoring to make sure that everything, there was no particulates in the air, surface viables, and just monitor the environment, but also all the in-process testing. You know, when you create this drug, it goes through steps and steps and steps.
Of course.
So then, you know, you take samples out, in-process testing to make sure that nothing is contaminated, and which in my department, basically most of the tests you ran, you're hoping for zeros. Like, you're not really looking for, if something comes up, you identify it, and then it's a problem, you go from there, but... You know, it's mostly zeros across the board. So that's what I mean. It's not very exciting.
I am mind blown. I had no idea.
I can't even look at you right now. The same. You're like, so it's hilarious. This is the funny part. We're discussing basically metaphysics with a scientist.
Yeah.
But this guy's as a home inspector. That is hilarious.
What was that episode that we talked about? You're doing something in your life and you realize that you have to make a change. He had that moment in his life. He's like, I know what I'm doing. I studied this, but something is missing.
Yeah.
And he went. He said, you know, I'm going to go back to the family business and enjoy life.
It's all the big idea, self-image. I mean, that's great.
That's great.
You know, the fact that you did it, because there's a lot, think about that. There's a lot of people that would get stuck.
Right. Well,
say, I'm a scientist, so I'm going to be a scientist.
Right. And they're miserable. No, I'm not saying scientists are miserable.
No, because if you're a scientist and you want to be one, then you're happy. You're doing what you love to do. But
it's doing something that
you don't want to be one or whatever that is. And you decided to do what you love.
And that's awesome. Why I haven't looked back. Yeah.
And you're super successful. And that's
a great story. Wow.
But it's true. Like if I always tell the people, like when they're coming on board as a new inspector, it's like, well, if you like seeing different stuff every day, if you like dealing with people, and if you like, you know, that sense of gratitude when you're helping somebody, this is a great job. You'll like the job. And people connect with that. And
yeah, they do.
That's why a lot of my inspectors, they just love the job.
Yeah, no, they're passionate about what they do. They're all good people. They're passionate. And they take baby steps, if they have to, with a consumer to say, okay, how do you feel? You know, what can we talk about after this inspection? How do you feel? Are you overwhelmed? You know, do you need to talk to me afterwards?
Right.
And that's like so big, where the buyer has the ability to call your office, connect with the inspector, and review the results or have additional questions that perhaps, you know, you could answer or at least guide them in the right direction.
And one of the things that we say at the end of all the inspections is, you know, we don't disappear after this.
Yeah, so, that's right. Like, I've heard that.
You know, review the report. It's going to feel overwhelming. You know, if you're with Will or Mike, you're in great hands. But any questions you have beyond that, just give me a call.
The scientist.
We say the same thing. When they say, well, you don't know. I said, no, you're going to see us. I'll be in Market Basket, you know, tomorrow evening. I'm not going anywhere.
In the produce aisle.
You're going to bump into me anywhere in the Merrimack Valley, southern New Hampshire. So we're not going anywhere. And I understand what you say when you say that. The funny part to me about the whole thing with home inspectors and realtors, right? Like we go into a lot of homes daily.
We do.
But the home inspectors do as well. But the home inspector really digs into the heart of the home. And, you know, like we want to say that we both, oh, well, I go to a ton of homes. No, not like a home inspector.
No, they don't.
The home inspector will look at you and say, I'll be right back. And then they crawl into that crawl space, you know, and places like that in the attic. And then they come back with the news. Back, guess
they,
what?
They come back a different color.
Yeah. And it's either good news or it's, you know, but you guys like you guys really get into the, you know, the meat and potatoes, into the heart of the home. And it's impressive what you do.
We clear the spider webs.
There you go.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You clear the spider webs.
Yeah. Funny, we'll post pictures of like the, you know, some one of the guy's hats after he comes out, just covered in cobwebs. And
yeah, you guys do it, man, and it's a great job, and like you said, it's gratification. I mean, I'm just so happy to hear that you're doing what you're doing right now, because that's to me that you're right. There was a gap, there was a vacuum.
Adam, I am so floored because this is the first time I know about your education background. I mean, you may have mentioned it to me. No, you probably.
I mean, how often does it come up? Like, never.
No, exactly. Yeah, unless we were hanging out and I'd ask you, Adam, so before home inspection, what did you do?
Yeah, right.
Because I would always think that, oh, Adam was always a home inspector. Tell us about your lovely wife and the kids. How's that all going?
So, kids are awesome. I have a son who just turned one. About a month ago.
God bless.
A lot of work.
So he's lived his entire life in a pandemic. So wow.
But you know, it's probably helped you guys out because you're raising the children while you're home.
Yeah.
To some degree. I mean, I know you're still working, but there's more time at home. So Adam, you're the background of Kristen's family. What does Kristen do?
So Kristen's, you know, she went to school. She's a psychologist.
I thought you were going to tell me she's a mad scientist too, but now she doesn't do that.
No, but she's very educated, has her own private practice for therapy, and you know, has her own clients. But as far as her family business, her mother used to have three daycares, now just has one focus that Kristen helps her run. So they have, you know, a preschool, daycare, whatever you call it. And then the father's side is funeral homes. So they get the kids coming up and they get the people going.
Okay.
It's a life and death situation.
I could only imagine what dinner was at the time. The conversations during dinner.
Oh, yeah.
So when you met Kristen and she told you this stuff, what would you say to her? You'd be like, I like you, but what's this all about?
You get taken back a little bit. It was like funeral homes. What? You guys grew up in funeral homes?
Oh, yeah, my God.
They didn't live in the funeral home. Like, you know, some of them are like that. So they didn't actually live with bodies.
So she was away from the situations.
You know, she spent plenty of time in funeral homes. Yeah.
Well, it's fascinating. You have the daycare where it all starts.
Right.
Yep. And then you have the funeral home where it all ends. So
yeah.
You have it covered end to end.
I mean, her family is just a family of entrepreneurs, business owners.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
That is cool. That's good. That's good information.
Yeah, and then she married the scientist. So she's psychoanalyzing.
Yeah. What an interesting household.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There's a lot going on.
Where'd you meet Kristen?
Through friends, actually. Well, in Boston. So,
not a bar or anything like that.
I guess technically it was a bar, but like a couple of my friends were dating a couple of her friends at the time, and we met through that, like hanging out in a group.
Sure.
And I was, you know, I was working security at a bar at the time, and they came through, and you know, we met, and it's funny because me and Kristen are now, you know, married, have a family, and you know, the other relationships that brought us together completely, you know, fell apart.
So you were the pillar of the situation.
Thank you to them.
All those other relationships served their purpose.
So thank them all the breakups.
I know, right?
Thank you all for what I have now, a beautiful family. I see the pictures on Facebook and Instagram. It's just amazing.
Yeah,
that's awesome. You have your hands full.
Couldn't be happier.
That's awesome. That was awesome. So if you love this episode, hit that subscribe button.
Hit that button.
So you do not miss another episode. I'd like to thank our sponsor.
Froggy's Party Pad, 419 South Broadway, Salem, New Hampshire.
And our sponsor helps us with our super producer engineer.
Short Fuse. Short Fuse.
Thank you to the Rufo.
Over our head, the Enchantment Room at Froggy's. That's froggiespartypad.com.
I want to thank Adam Wright of RJ Home Inspection for spending the evening here. Adam, thank you so much for your contribution to our show.
The super home inspector.
The super home inspector, the scientist. With a plus.
It's just amazing.
Always great hanging out with you guys.
Oh, that is awesome. Thank you so much for your time. And as we always end our episode, we are over.
And?
Oh.
Sexy voice at the end there. Gave me chills.